Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
Wait a minute. Wait a minute. You ain't heard nothing yet.
Houston, we have a problem.
They're here.
Stop, children. What's that sound? Everybody look what's going down.
What's up, all you Brooklyn Buddhists? This is Woody Massey, producer of the Jimmy Della Valley Brooklyn Buddha podcast, co-hosted by Tim Hung Yoon. This week on the podcast, we had Darren Carter. Darren Carter, a hilarious stand-up comedian. This guy had us rolling in the studio. If you want to check out some of his hilarious bits, just put him in on Google. YouTube will pop right up. He's featured on the Laugh Factory page. The guy is friggin' hilarious. And Jimmy's going to be going out. He's going to be doing some tour dates coming up. He's got a lot of big things going on in 2015. If you want to find anything out about that, go to jimmydellavalley.com. Respect the Buddha. And yeah, everybody, enjoy your summer. Hope everyone's being safe. Don't party too hardy. And I think that's about it. Enjoy the show, and we will see you next week. Forget about it!
Brooklyn Buddha. So, this guy that just coughed, he's the guy who's coming on. This guy's a great comedian. I met him in New York City. We were at Caroline's, and he was coming up, and he was coming up strong. I think he had just did the Tonight Show at this point. And he's not your normal comedian, even though he is, if that makes sense. Like, he can beatbox. He's very hip-hoppy. If you look at him, you would never even think that he was a comedian. You know what I mean? He's an undercover comedy beast. I mean, he's great. So I remember he was working with Tommy Savage, who we all know. Tommy Savage, a good friend of mine in Brooklyn. And I remember Tommy was featuring, and Tommy, you know, always had lines now. And he told me, and I knew this comedian. He's like, his man. He goes, I didn't know he was this strong. He goes, he really killed. I think they were working at the Punchline in Sacramento or something like that. Anyways, this guy's a great comic. He's a writer. He had a really great podcast. It used to be called Dick and Darren, and then Dick died. So the podcast is no longer. Anyways, Dick didn't die, but maybe, I don't know. But anyways, Tim, say what's up to everybody.
Hey, how's everybody doing?
And Woody, my producer.
Hello, hello.
And the great actor, comedian, writer, beatboxer. Can we go with beatboxer?
Okay, yeah.
The rooster, Darren Carter. Do we still go by the rooster?
Thank you. Yeah, Latinos sometimes still call me that. Like, they'll be like, they remember you from the television shows and stuff.
Yeah.
What's up, rooster? Bueno, from the ghetto, híjole. What's happening, rooster? ¿Qué pasó? You know, which is fantastic. You're right, like, being that undercover thing, that was a thing that, you know, I started out, like, you know, doing just regular rooms like every other comic, and then you kind of, somebody will see you, and they'll be like, they'll almost be like, a Latino person will be like, dude, you should do this room, and then you go there, and you're like, I'm the only white guy here, and then you do well, and then, you know, or you might go somewhere, mm-hmm. and, hey, man, you should do this black room in Oakland, and start in the Bay Area, and next thing you know, your comedy, you start getting better gigs, higher paying gigs, you're like, well, I'm actually getting something going, you know, but, and now I've kind of, not, I wouldn't say pulled it back, but like, you know, now I'm just, you're like, okay, I know I can do these kind of rooms, let me work on just what I think is funny, and,
right.
As opposed to like, you know, like, this will work great for the black crowd, like, or
right.
whatever, it's like,
right.
Let me just do what I know is funny, my real life, and if you guys want to be on board, that's cool, if not, that's okay too.
Yeah, so when did you start stand-up? Started in Fresno, right?
Yeah, started in Fresno that first year. That was in 1990. And I did it for about a year, like doing, you know, performing, you know, in college and then
mm-hmm.
doing, you know, anything from the redneck bars to the bowling alleys to, you know, anything I could. And then I actually passed this audition and I got a gig at Marriott's Great America. And so that's what propelled me to go to the Bay Area.
So Great America, you were doing stand up for them?
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah, it was
voices,
yeah, it was
like
terrible.
That.
It was the job was one of the jobs. I did 12 shows a day, and it was to entertain people in line for roller coasters. So, you know, no microphone, no speakers, you're just out there in line. This is pre, you know, now everybody stares at their phone, but back then they were just standing there, so they were like,
we need people to like juggle fire and walk on stilts, and it'd be great to have a stand-up comic. And right. You know, I'm sure all the, you know, really good comedians are like, I'm not doing that job. But, you know, me, I've been doing comedy for like a year and a half. I'll do anything. So, you know, it gave me great exposure, like as far as like experience, like doing all those shows. And I get to open up for like the singing, you know, the groups and
right.
and stuff. So, yeah, that was my start. You know, and then at night I would go do like real comedy clubs.
Were you like in high school, were you kind of the class clown? You kind of liked that attention or...
Yeah, other people kept saying, like, you should be a comedian, man. You got to do this. And so I just, like, jot little ideas down. And, you know, and I took a speech class, and I did 2 years in high school, 2 years in college. And the only note they kept saying was, it's too funny. You need to be more structured as far as a speech goes.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Like, I would do the whole, like, impersonations and silly stuff. And at the end, I'd be like, and that's why we need world peace or whatever. You know?
Yeah.
So that was kind of my... Yeah.
So there's something that you, I mean, you know, you've always been generous to me. Like when I was switching agents before, you had vouched for me, got me that good agent with Venture, you know, and then that guy Kazoo was a Buckwald, and that was all great. And I consider us like as well as Flip. I've known Flip since I've known Flip since AOL. Like he literally
wow,
like in
really?
Chat rooms, he used to hit me up. I'm a comedian, you know. We made buddies. Yeah.
Wow.
He's like, I'm coming to Jersey. Let's
hang
out.
Cool.
So
yeah,
like,
no, I remember when I went to Times Square and I did because I did. They flew me out to do the Ricky Lake show.
Ricky Lake.
I was you know, a celebrity guest judge. You know, it was me and like Monique and somebody else who was like a I don't know what she did a talent coordinator. But
right.
And so I got to do a couple sets before that thing, and I saw you at Caroline's and
yeah.
Hit it off. And but I kind of knew you from L.A.
Right.
But still, it was like, you know, when you're across the country in a big city,
mm-hmm.
you're like, I don't know anyone. And it's like, hey, Jimmy D.
Yeah. Sean Latham, I remember I was headlining Levity Live. Have you ever did Levity Live?
No.
It's a phenomenal club.
Where's it at?
In Nyack, New York.
Oh, no,
it's
I haven't done it.
You know, Levity, and you know, whatever, Judy Brown's company.
Yeah,
they own
yeah.
it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And whatever, and Robert Hartman or whatever it is. And, you know, and Sean
cool.
Latham hits me up. He's like, dude, I'm in New York. What's up? Let's hang out. Like, you know, like
yeah.
he must have been like following me on Facebook or whatever
yeah.
it was. And then he was like working with somebody and he was opening or whatever. He was trying to get away from that Gabriel. That,
yeah.
Did you ever do the tour with Gabriel?
No,
or anything?
No. I would love to though. How awesome would that be? Just thousands of people. And...
Oh, yeah, it's thousands of people. It's he has a lot of openers. I mean, he's got like sometimes six or eight guys in front of him. You
wow.
know? And he's got Rick Gutierrez, who's like a
yeah.
beast. I mean, he's
yeah.
a great comic. And then.
I guess,
you know,
I'd say I'd like to do that, but then. Maybe the reality is after like the first couple times you're like, oh, I want to do longer. I don't want to just do like 5 minutes.
Dude, completely. You know? Listen, I mean, you always headline. I always headline. The other day, I'm headlining in Vegas, and then they go, hey, do you want to open for Ralphie May?
Yeah.
So I'm like, all right. So I do. Me and Ralphie, we do
yeah.
this show, and I do great. And Tim's there, and it was so like humbling. Because no one gives a shit
yeah.
if it's Ralphie May and you.
Were you the first person they saw?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. So
yeah.
you really were opening.
Yeah.
It wasn't
right.
like.
And I did like 30 or 35.
Oh, shit.
In front
yeah,
of them,
it's
right?
funny how yeah, you open to somebody who's known or the audience
yeah.
is there for. You'll kill. And you're like, oh, this is great. And afterwards,
yeah.
nobody gives a shit.
Nobody.
They say, oh, you were funny. And then it turn over. They
like,
just.
Wow.
The guy comes up to me. And
you did do good, though.
I did.
Good.
I did very good.
That's
guy,
good.
And the guy comes up to me and says. He goes, hey man, I might have been the only one laughing. That's
oh,
what he
God.
Said to me.
Oh,
but
man.
I thought you were hilarious. And I go, sir, I got six applause breaks. I go, Ralphie, I'm going to my room. Like,
yeah.
I was like, really?
Yeah,
are
yeah.
you kidding
They don't understand.
I hate those compliments.
I've
backward compliments. Yeah.
Like,
hey, I thought you were funny. And I'm like, shit.
Yeah.
I don't care what anyone says.
Yeah.
I thought you were okay.
Yeah. Right, yeah. And it's like, and I never understand, like, every once in a while.
Keep at it.
I remember I was headlining
yeah, keep at it.
The Comedy Works, and I get this guy who's asking me question after question. And it's a good hour. It's a good hour of questions after the show. And I go, look, Barbara Walters, this fucking interview is done.
Yeah.
He asked me how much I make a living.
Oh, I hate when
they
talk about personal. Like,
how do you? He asked me how much I make. How much you making
gosh.
For this gig? I mean,
yeah,
are your
yeah,
parents?
Yeah.
How are your parents? I mean, you're great, but didn't your parents? I'm like,
what
are
your parents
thinking of this?
This
a radio
idiot.
Show? Like, what
the
fuck? The
funny
are you
thing
doing?
Is, out here in LA and New York City, people think you make a fortune at these clubs. Like, oh, you make like $1,000 a show.
Yeah.
Like, gosh. Yeah, a little lower.
Yeah. Well, dude, I mean, you.
My
are,
accountant doesn't ask that question.
Like,
that's the one person that's
so funny. Yeah. You run around town. I used to.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I'm regular at the factory. I'm regular everywhere. But I really don't. I'd rather just stay at home with my wife and the cat. Like, I don't want to run around town.
Let me ask you about it, because I know some guys that there's the runaround comics and there's the comics that like Craig Shoemaker doesn't do it.
Craig's a buddy. Yeah.
And I asked him about that. Like, how does that, like, what do you do? Like 7 nights a week, like, do you go out? Like, how do you, I can't even stay home. What do you do?
Yeah, like, dude, I just
because I'm not saying I'm,
like, and I'm not saying
you
don't love your wife, like, but I just love my wife. I like to hang out. I like to just we watch TV, and I mean, I'll go on the road, like, you know, I'll go do a gig on the road, and I'll work on my bits
on the road
on the show.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? I can
because sometimes I wonder, like, I'm like, am I
mean, it's great. I'll go to the factory and do like you know the All Star to Thursday night or something like that, or I'd rather. You know, go out to Long Beach, Laugh Factory. I love that room. You know what I mean? So it's like, I'll go do those rooms, but I barely put in my avails. And Jamie, he was there. Jamie got mad at me because I don't put my avails in. You don't respect the club. You don't put in your avails. Like, and I was like, so he didn't let me hang out the other night on a Saturday night.
Wow.
He made a big deal about it. And I was like,
put your veils in.
I was
do it.
Yeah, you know. Well, you know, that's the thing. I always believe that there's like the short list of veils, and then there's, you know, I never understand what it is. It's like, so are you literally on like a Monday or Tuesday? Are you hitting up Cecily like, hey?
Here's what I do. Yeah, whenever they send that email, like, are your veils? I look at my calendar. I see what I'm available for, and I just make myself available.
But the problem.
But I'm out every night. Like, here's where I'm coming from. Like, but part of me thinks, is it the what are they called? Past the point of diminishing returns? Like, is there a point where you're like, maybe I should stay home and write a script, or maybe I should.
Right.
But then, you know, you end up staying home watching Netflix or whatever. But still, it's like, you know, everything I've ever gotten, it's usually being at a comedy club.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, if it's in those waters about the.
Yeah.
I mean, usually it's like last night I was talking to somebody and they're like, oh man, I heard you on that Dom Herrera podcast. Have you done. Jay Moore's podcast, you should email him, I'll vouch for you, so that kind of thing, which wouldn't happen if I'm home, you know, like,
well,
those little tiny connections.
No, I completely understand.
And then, yeah.
I'm at the point where my act is so strong now, like, I mean, of course, I moved here as a headliner, but I'm 100 times better than what I was.
I feel like I'm not done. I feel like as good as I am right now, I feel like we're just pepping ourselves up on this podcast.
No.
You're great. No, you're great. No, man, you're great.
What I want to explain to you first is, so before you say your thought, so it's like,
you say how great you are.
Before I forget with my thought. That's all I got, right? So it's like, I'm out there, like, every time, like, I don't know, he hits me up the other day, and he goes, hey, I booked this on the Harbell show. All right, you know the Harbell show?
Yeah.
Right? So I go, it's like packed, and rock it. And then I end up getting like, there's like some booker there, and I end up getting like a gig for like $1,000.
Cool.
So it's like, if I didn't go there to do this fucking gig,
You
know what I mean? So every opportunity now, like, because of how strong I've gotten over the years, is like when I go, someone's like, oh, I've never seen you. Because it's like, and like, I love D'Elia and I love all those guys, but those guys are at the Laugh Factory every single night. They're everywhere every single night. So those are the guys.
Yeah.
That are the main guys.
Like, you'll see D'Elia like 8 o'clock here, 10 o'clock here.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Right. You know what I mean? So that's what I'm saying. Like, that's what they're doing. But he also, I mean, he also is on the road, and he's also fucking shooting a TV series.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Back to what I was saying, like, I feel like I'm like, you know, like, whenever I feel like, okay, I can rest now, I'm like, no, I can't rest. I'm not done yet. I feel like there's this whole other level of, like, you know, like that Bill Burr, Louis C.K. getting a special.
Of course.
But I'm not there yet, man. Like, I, you know, and I'm starting to get this where people will come to my shows and they're fans, but it's more, here's what they say. I remember you. Dude, I remember you. Oh, my God. I agree. And I'm like, I don't want to be, I remember you. It's like, I need to keep putting stuff out now. So I don't want to. You know, and so one of the things I was telling Craig Shoemaker when he said he's pretty much doesn't want to go out. He goes, what drives you to go out? Because every night I'm somewhere, you know, like tonight I'm at the Improv, or tomorrow I'm at the Comedy Manager Club. I'm like, I'm always working on something.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I put my, I have 3 CDs out now, and I'll do a quick plug. They're on iTunes and Amazon. Search Darren Carter. But I'm ready to do this 4th one, and then after that I'm probably ready to do. I'm halfway. You know what I mean? Like I'm almost. Like, if someone said you can record this in a month, I'd be like, all right, cool. I got this bit, that bit, and I'm ready. It's like, so I keep working on these bits, and then also I want to, you know, use that time to, okay, let me get this bit strong, and then I'll go down to Comedy Magic Club, do it on. So I can get it on camera and then get it on YouTube,
mm-hmm.
or something. So I feel like there's a million things I could be doing, and you know, and it is very relaxing to stay home. It is.
Do you retire your material when you did a CD? I'm not doing that material anymore.
Like yes. Russell Peters, like when yeah. I used to work with Russell, he's like, I'm not gonna do this after this year. I'm done.
Yeah. Yes and no. There's because I look at some of the bits and I'm like, oh, I don't do that one anymore. Like there's a bit called Kite Jacking, and it's funny like. SiriusXM has been playing it a lot, and then
mm-hmm.
I did this show the other day, and then Fraser Smith goes, hey, play, he goes, tell me that story about the kite. He goes, isn't that on your album? I'm like, yeah. And it's a story about flying kite with my son, and it wasn't windy that day, and this weirdo came out of the park, and he was like, hey, can I try it? And it was like a funny, you know what I mean? Like a story, it was weird, because with
mm-hmm.
cigarettes, if someone's like, can I have a smoke? You're like, it's my last one, or you have change,
right.
I'm all tapped. But he sees me flying the kite.
Can I try your
yeah,
kite?
And so I was like, you know what I mean? Be acting like, a, you know, so I did this whole story about that.
You let him, did he fly your kite?
Yeah, I ended up, I you know, it's funny, because I know how my wife is. She's really like, sort of
right.
like, you know, as you guys saw earlier when I give you the fist bump.
Yeah.
And I'm germaphobic, she's crazy germaphobic. She's
yeah.
like, let this fucking creep keep the kite. Yeah,
right.
It's only like $9.
Match
so.
Made in sterilization.
Exactly. You know? And so, yeah. So, I kind of forgot how the bit went, but it was okay because like I said, I did retire. Like, I got it to the point where it was really funny, and then I'm like, boom, I'm done with it. This, but then there's like 2 other bits that I still do. One of them, I definitely developed it further. One of them, it's like, okay, I'll still do it to fill a set. The other one, it's still, fits in my set perfectly, and it's about my son having attention deficit disorder, and that one's great because it's like, you know, I'll just tell you the short version. We, the doctor said that ADD is hereditary, and then I go, I forget what he said after that, you know, and then the audience laughs, and then they go, hey, here's my gift to you. The next time someone's talking, just be like, this shit is boring.
Yeah,
and so I do like some callbacks to that, like, you know, like the cop stops you. Do you know why I pulled you over? Boring.
Right.
You know, so I've developed that whole boring thing, and even this last weekend, it's raining, it's pouring, the story's really boring, you know.
Right.
But
I remember you seeing that. I think I saw you do that Jay Davis's show. Flappers was the first time I ever saw
it. Yeah. It's like, it's funny because I got a lot of confidence when Fred Willard saw it. And he goes, that bit's great. And the next day he tweeted it, I love it, the boring. So, you know, and I'm like, yeah, that's awesome. So, but yeah, and also I look at it like, you know, this isn't like, you know, a Netflix special that everybody sees like Chris Rock or something.
Right.
So do I want to retire? I retire for my own like well-being and mental health and feeling like I'm advancing. Like this last weekend, I had a good show. It was like on Friday. But then, you know, like the audience thought it was a good show, but in my mind, I'm like, I went back to the crates. I was digging through the crates too much. You know, I'm like,
right.
You know what I mean? Where you want to get those laughs because you're like, I'm on the road and you're doing a lot of new stuff that you're going to be putting out, but then you're like, okay, let me dig back 8 years. Let me do this bit. It's new to them or whatever.
Right.
But for your own self, you're like, yeah, crap. What does that do?
Are you getting, you know, I mean, you're running around. I mean, I like that you. What you said, that you feel that you're not where you're at. Like, of course, I can always grow. I'm just saying I don't like running around town no more. I did. I'm 43. You got to be in the same age.
But, yeah, I am.
Range as me.
That's the thing, too. I used to wonder that. Like, I remember being 20 years old going, where's all the older comedians? Where are they? Don't, you know,
they're home watching TV
exactly.
with their wife and
but,
cat.
For me, I'm like, I don't want to be like that. I can't. But that's just me, though. Like, I mean, there's other schools of thought where the guys are like,
right.
I just look at it like, I want to, you know, doing multiple sets. I always take my set. Like last night, I was, you know, because there was a time I wasn't. Like if you were to ask me, you know, maybe like 4 years ago, or maybe further than that, like maybe, I think like between 5 and like, whatever, what are we writing a book here? 5 and 10 years.
Yeah, yeah.
There was a time where I did a lot of sets just to do them, not to even, I didn't record them.
Did you fall out of love ever? I fell out of love for a while.
Did I ever fall
But I was still
love?
Like working
yeah.
as a headliner and I was out
yeah.
of love. I wasn't.
I never reached that. I mean, I probably have moments, but not really.
You know, I don't know if that means anything
for me, I never
to you what I said about Tommy Savage, but see, that's the thing. It's like you never know how you touch anybody's soul. Like, he calls me up from his room. I mean, he goes,
yeah.
"This fucking Darren Carter is really good. Jimmy, you
that's
don't
cool.
understand. He
that's
goes,
cool.
He's really good.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because, you know, Tommy's, you know, opinionated on a lot of people.
That's cool.
For him
yeah.
to call me, and this is years ago. Do you
yeah.
remember when
yeah,
he featured
yeah.
for you?
It was the punchline, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who wants me now?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I've always done, yes.
Right,
right.
Yeah. right. When the, yeah, now he's got his Tommy Llama. But the thing is, so...
It was fun. We had a blast. You know?
Yeah, yeah. So, you now you're... Are you booking your own stuff, or do you got an agent? Like, I remember you always had an agent booking your...
Yeah, you know,
your,
it's
Tommy
a combination. I just stepped away from my agent, because, like, for the last year and a half, they weren't really... And I was. It's very frustrating. I don't know if you...
Mm-hmm.
If you've ever experienced that, where you have representation, but you're like, what are they doing? And you're like, most of the gigs are coming either through my relationships
mm-hmm.
or people will hit you up on the website or Facebook, something, and they'll be like, are you available? And I turn it over to them. Hey, these people want me to do this thing, or this club
mm-hmm.
wants me to. And then, you know, I got some, you know, Vegas spots and some stuff, and you know, at the Lake Tahoe, what do you call it, the Improv. And I told my manager,
right.
like, what's going on here? Is it once again? Do I just turn it over? Or?
Mm-hmm.
He's like, let me talk to them. And he's like, you know what, Dan? I think it's best. What's the point? You know, like they. And the agent was really cool. He said that, you know, he basically said that they were overwhelmed. They have like way too many clients, and
mm-hmm.
you know, and it's back to that thing where they probably work on that short list because it's
right.
easy. It's like,
mm-hmm.
you know, and the other guys are like, oh, do we really want to be on the phone all day trying to push Jimmy D? And you know,
exactly.
It's like, you know, so.
I
have a college agent, and I have, you know...
Are you still doing colleges?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
we just
yeah.
were talking about, because Johnny Cardinale's still doing them.
Yeah.
I don't fuck with them no more. I used
yeah.
to. I mean, I'll get called for, like,
yeah.
you know, $3,000, $5,000 college. I'll do it, but I'm not out looking for college work. I don't...
Yeah.
I don't
yeah.
like to do the NACAs. I do.
Yeah,
I'm,
yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm talking about my wife and my cat and... They're like, oh, that bit about the cat is racist. Meanwhile, the comedy them destroys.
I
know,
it's weird.
So
I know,
like,
I do that thing about I like my women, you know. And in Illinois, I did it at college there like 6 months ago, and I noticed something about, it looked like the volleyball team and the softball team,
mm-hmm.
these girls, they kind of folded their arms like, oh, this is sexist.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
sure.
It's like, come on.
You know, and then Seinfeld did that whole thing about
yeah.
how it's now PC.
I know, the times that we live in, that Seinfeld is edgy.
You're fine because, like, you have a energy like a, you know, new comic where they're so excited to do a lot of spots, and but do you have those high and lows because you're working on new stuff where a bad set can really,
yes,
even though you do a lot of sets,
yeah.
it really can throw you.
I wouldn't say it really throws me, but it can. It definitely can.
Yeah.
Like, and I like to think about this set, like, you know, like last night I was working on this solid bit about being married for 18 years, but then there's part of me that was really connecting, really killing. And then I have this other part that's, in all honesty, just a dick joke.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, should I even keep developing that dick joke? Because I'm like, it's just, some, you know what I mean? Everyone has dick jokes. It's like, it's
mm-hmm.
not really setting me apart. Like, you know, I listened to this interview with Barry Katz, legendary manager.
Yeah, sure.
And I love what he said. He said, like, imagine if you're in a boat and you have, like, let's say you have 5 bits and the boat is starting to sink and you have to
mm-hmm.
throw... You can only save like 4 of the bits. Which
mm-hmm.
bit are you? You know what I mean? So
that's great.
So
mm-hmm.
am I gonna like save that dick joke bit about? I'm like, yeah, probably not. But then again, you know, I know someone that back in the day they were hanging out with Bill Hicks, and he go, and they had lunch, and this is in Baltimore. And he goes, man, how do you with your material? You must bomb sometimes. Like, what do you? He goes, you know, I never swim away too far from Dick Joke Island.
Right.
So it's like
mm-hmm.
you know, it's okay to have those dick jokes.
Right. So do you think that you've, because I know your career. I mean, I know everybody's career. I mean, I was told by Tommy Savage years ago, and then another famous comic, and he says, the
yeah.
thing they like about me is I'm still a student of the game.
Yeah.
I still know what's going on. So do you think you've ever burnt too much material with specials and CDs and this and that, that, like, you regret that you, like... Because, like, I know I had, for a while there, I had a 45 fucking minute headlining clip online.
That's, yeah.
So I'm, like, headlining in Canada, and the lady's like, oh, the reason I came is because I like that bit, you know, several of those bits. And she's like, you didn't do any of those. Yeah. And I'm like, so now, like, my new agent, yeah. I have, like, a phenomenal personal appearance agent. I have, like, 2 minute clips. That's it.
That's good.
There's no more fucking
yeah.
10 minutes. There's nothing.
Yeah.
Like, none of that shit. I don't want to deal with
that. But you have lots of clips, though, right?
Yeah, like, on my...
But they're all 2 minutes here, they're 2 minutes
Yeah, like,
there.
I have, like...
That might be smart.
Yeah. Like, I remember, like, you know...
There's a couple guys that...
Like, when I used to hang with Nick Swartz, and he's like, Jimmy, you only need to have, like, 4 or 5 minute clip up there.
Yeah.
And I go, well, yeah, well, you're with your Nick Swartz. You know, like,
yeah,
I mean,
yeah,
he's
yeah.
my good friend, but I'm...
Yeah,
you
know him, yeah.
So that was a different
yeah.
thing. But, you know, you would think that...
I think the content is king, is what they say, right? So
yeah.
it's, like, putting stuff out, like... You know, you want shareable material, so it's
right.
like people see it, go, ah, it's good, and they share it, you know. So,
right.
And, you know,
well, they're not going to share, you know, 45 minutes, but yeah,
right, right.
two
and,
minutes.
And 45
minutes.
Is too long. It's like people, the attention span is like, what, you know, like,
mm-hmm.
I think 2 minutes is good. I think it's a good choice.
You mm-hmm. ever have, because when I used to put my sets out, I've had jokes stolen, and people said, oh, yeah, shorten it, because there's comics out there are going to take, they're going to
yeah.
watch it and take a piece out of here, piece out of there. Have you had that issue where you've had
I don't worry about that because
yeah.
I'm like...
I mean, I write.
Yeah,
I'm the type
yeah.
of headliner.
And
I
it's
write
out of, it's
all
a,
the time.
Yeah, and it's out of our hands. It's like...
Yeah.
And if they steal something, usually it's like... I ask myself, was it really stolen? Or, I mean, it could be stolen. Or maybe it's just, you know, like if it's a joke about what's happening, like Cosby or
mm-hmm.
something. Like, you know what I mean? Like there
sure.
could be... You know, I don't try to... Yeah, I don't worry about that.
Well, you're also,
yeah.
You got your voice and your character.
Yeah. So who do you think that, I mean, I know, like, you know, I don't even see it, but just because I'm Italian, I guess, right? But sometimes they'll go, you like Marino. I'm like, I'm not like Mike Marino at all. You know, my act's not like Mike Marino
at all. Oh, yeah,
I could
see, not that you like Marino,
right.
but I could see why people would, because they just, in their mind, they think, this guy reminds me of, you know, like, if you're a heavyset Latino guy, they're going to be like, you're like Fluffy.
Right.
Like, I was in Texas, and the opener said that he gets that sometimes. And once he said that, I'm like, oh, I can see it. See, I watch so much comedy, I didn't see that, but once he said that, I'm like, oh, I can see it, because you kind of
right.
have that, he's probably around the same age. I go, dude, I told him, I go, honestly, you're wearing shorts right now on stage. So does Gabriel. I said,
yeah.
Probably shouldn't wear shorts on stage.
And the fucking Hawaiian shirt.
Exactly. yeah, exactly. And you're my opening act. Why did you bring your own 6 openers? Come on.
I'm Fluffy.
right.
Yeah. You know.
Really?
Yeah.
So, now, you yeah. did a lot of these tours, like, my audience won't know about this about you. So you did, like, the Beaner thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right? Was
it
Johnny Sanchez?
Yeah.
Was Pablo
was,
in that?
Yeah, there was one called... these names of these two.
Rice and beans?
Yeah.
Beaners,
right. Beans and crackers and beans. Beans and crackers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And on that one, it was me and Freddie Soto.
Oh, yeah. The great Freddie Soto.
And then after he passed away, Gabriel took over. And so he was beans for a while. That's so stupid. It's the worst idea. I mean, I get what the promoter was doing.
But they were,
is what the tour is. White comedians make, you know, beans and crackers. But I remember telling Gabriel, I go, I don't like being called crackers after the show. He goes, I don't like being called beans. You know, I was like,
I remember I was doing, I was headlining the El Paso Comic Strip, which
yeah.
is just one of my favorite
yeah.
clubs.
Yeah.
They just love comedy.
Yeah.
And Luke Torres comes
yeah.
up to me.
Yeah.
And he knows who I am. We've never met.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, hey, man, really, really funny shit. And I said, oh, hey, thanks, man. And we hang out. We become buddies. He's like, yo, I want you to go on this big tour with me. Of theaters, you know, everywhere. And I said, sure, yeah, I'd love to. And then a comedian blocked me. I'll tell you off.
Okay.
You know, he blocked me from the whole tour. I never got to do it. It was this great tour of just theater.
Yeah.
So anyways, now they have the Latin Comedy Jam, which is like Jerry Garcia.
Johnny Sanchez, Jerry Garcia.
Yeah, right? And
yeah.
Carlos Oscar does it every, you know, a good friend of mine.
Yeah.
So... It's amazing to me that, because they're all great comics and they're all my friends, but Jesus, like, us as comedians,
yeah,
we have a hard time selling out comedy clubs sometimes.
Yeah.
These fucking guys are selling out these, like, how are they, like, how are these producers or promoters jumping on these tours and selling out these shows? You're like, I've never seen anything.
I think it's
on Facebook. I've never seen a tweet. I've never seen anything for this Latin comedy tour.
I think that's what it is. It's like a theme. You know, you get a theme going, and it's like, and then they market to that, whatever the, you know, the theme is. It's like, you know, or you get like a big star involved. Like, well, when I did like some of those Latin tours, they would, you know,
Paul Rodriguez.
Yeah, like the Kings of Comedy or the Latin Kings of Comedy, and which was Paul, Johnny Sanchez, myself, and Luke Torres. And it was great, because Paul didn't even headline. He would open. He'd come out there, you know, like, you know what? These guys, I believe in them. And, you know, and so it was really fun, you know, to be, like, in front of these big venues, you know. But, that's, I think, having a theme or something. Have you hooked up with other Italian comics and done a thing?
I'm actually doing a whole, I'm booked for all theaters in January. Next year.
Nice.
All just huge. Yeah. Really exciting. But, you know, it's just something my manager had been working on. It's not
collaborating
all
with
Italian. He put it together. But it's great. You know, there's sponsors, and it's the way it should be. It's like years ago, me and Tommy Savage tried to do, like, the Brooklyn Comedy Tour, and we went all different places.
That sounds cool.
But these comics, you know, I'm very generous. Anyone that knows me, I help. You know, Tim's my best friend. He's a great comic. I'm always making sure that if he's working, if I'm, you know, hook him up. If he's like, he's at the, but he headlined at the Detroit Comedy Castle.
And oh, cool.
He vouches for me, you know, whatever it is. Like, we vouch for each other. Like, who do you have in your comedy world that's your boy?
Oh, it always changes. You know, that's another thing, too, I've learned. I like what you're saying about that.
Finicky.
Yeah. It's like, I did this show with this, back on BET, and this guy, this producer, he said something great. I'll always remember it. This is what's great about you guys, together. With one more finger, with five, we're a fist.
Right.
You know, and it's true. It's like, if you're like the lone wolf, you know, like, I'm by myself, I don't need anybody's help. It's like, no, it's not like that. It's like that UFC guy, Conor McGregor is his name.
Sure.
He wrote this great post on Instagram, and it was like, you know, nobody is a self-made man. Everyone who's helped us from the beginning had a piece of helping us now.
You need your team. Like, it was funny, I was listening to Howard Stern yesterday on my XM, which is a car, Sirius, whatever it's called.
That's cool.
And have you guys ever heard of the Jackie doll? And it's like, I'm Jackie Jumpman, right?
Yeah,
so he has like a little puppet. And the general manager comes in and he's saying, and Howard's like, hey, come on in, do your little show that you talk about, Jackie. And he's gone, you understand it, you know, me and my wife have talked about it, and I'm a big contribution to the show. I need a raise. If I don't get a raise, I mean, I'm going to leave the team, and I'm not going to, like, and they're making fun of him. You know what I mean? Like, they're literally, and the guy goes, look, he goes, I love Jackie. He goes, but this is his every year. He comes in, he wants to renegotiate, and this is that. So it's like, the thing is, like Kevin Hart, I've known Kevin since he started. I live my life now. The last few years, actually, my father, ever since my father passed away, I really focused, and I really, Tim just came out, he's, you know, I mean, we're writing, we just wrote,
LA,
not out of the closet, we just wrote a sitcom and starred in it, you know what I mean, we shot it, it's like, came out amazing, so like, network, and everybody's interested in it, so it's great, but it's like, the team, the business model, like, Joey Wells is my boy. You know Joey, right? J-Dub, Joe Ralph, right?
Yeah.
So he's one of Kevin's, like, head writers. And then, they go on tour with him. But that's Kev's team. Mm-hmm. Without Kevin's team, Kevin might not be where he's at. Mm-hmm. I mean, I learned the whole thing about, like, if Kevin's telling a story and they're just eating, he's like, and he's doing this, telling story. A week later, Joey goes, hey, Kev, why don't you remember that thing you were talking about, your aunt? He's like, let's explore that. And they just start writing.
Oh,
bit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, he has this thing. Like, I saw.
That's
like,
good to have a person that's like.
Yeah.
That's because you know, we see stuff. But
right.
But then other stuff, we're like, no, that's not really. But then the other person goes, no, I see where that could actually be funny. You know?
Yeah, it's interesting you say story, because most comics who help other comics do it with jokes.
Mm-hmm.
When you get comics that know you, that can help your story, it definitely...
Like me and Dwayne, Dwayne Perkins, you know, Dwayne is...
He's great, by the way.
Yeah, me, yeah. You know, he's one of my best friends in comedy. I almost never hang out with him because he's not that guy. He doesn't really hang out. I mean, he does his spots, you know. But he had gotten a show for Comedy Central, and I was going to write for a show because I know his voice so well. So he shoots the pilot. We're in Vegas. He's like, you got to look at Jimmy, look at my pilot. I'm like, oh, my God, we can write this joke. So, like, I can watch him and just tag. Like, I went to his, at William Morris, we went to his new comedy special the other day, and we were watching it. Me,
oh, cool.
Owen Smith, and Ty Barnett. It was just great. So we're all sitting there, like, in this
What's
little...
the name of the special? That's like a funny name, right? Like
Yeah.
You showed it at that Japanese area, right?
Yeah, I forgot what the fuck the name is. Yeah. But the thing is, it's
Did
like,
you guys heckle? I'm just kidding.
You know, we don't know. But the thing is, it's like the team. It's really the team. Like, so I learned things about like Ron White. Like, I didn't know he had like a lot of writers for these stories.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so like then I'll meet like a comic. He's like, oh, I write a lot of his stories.
Yeah.
And like, oh my God, like, because you're like, he makes it, you think he's telling some story about it.
Yeah.
And he's like, great. I don't know if you like that whole blue collar or whatever it is.
No, I do. But I like it when the comedian, I like when it's them. I don't want it to be like, here's some, memorize this story. That
I
don't feel like it's authentic. I don't
right.
like that.
Right.
I don't mind punching up a story, but you know what I mean?
Now, you talk about writing.
As far as being a fan of
Well, you know, it's a great, I saw, I was at the HaHa, and Damon Wayans had just got diagnosed with diabetes. I don't know if I told this already in another podcast.
Tell me.
And it was very, he goes up for 45 minutes, very heartfelt, very honest.
Very honest.
Talk about cheating on his wife and how he feels guilty. It was funny.
No. He didn't cheat. Marlon.
No. Wait, well, let me finish this. He had his issues, blah, blah, blah. And then he's getting heckled.
Yeah.
And I'm like, who the fuck is heckling Damon Wayans? And it's Marlon. Marlon's in the back, and they're filming it. And then they swap. Then Marlon goes on, and Damon is heckling him. And what I realized afterwards, they're actually interrupting their set to continue. Stop. Stop. Tell me about how your wife felt.
Yeah.
And then they go, oh, you know. And they'd actually hone the story. The next day, that was included, and they would... continue to hone it. So it became a whole, like, 20 minutes added the next day. It was amazing.
So, like, Tim's did that with me, like I said, you run around town.
Yeah.
I sometimes will just, like, book something, like, an hour or an hour and a half away, and I'll go tell the guy, look, I'm just going to do, like, a new hour.
Yeah.
And my buddy Tim's going to come. So then the other day we did it for, like, maybe 8 people. People, whatever, the guy doesn't like even promote whatever it is. You just show up.
He was a white promoter.
Yes.
What is it about white promoters?
Right. So we're doing it.
White promoters, get your shit together.
Yeah. So I have like 4 pages of material, and I'm literally like doing it and going. And then Tim goes, "Tell him about the." And I'm okay. And
tell him about how Dana Wayne's wife cheated.
Yeah.
Oh shit! Back to the drawing board, guys.
So. But that's, I mean, like, he's my loyal soldier, you know what I mean? Like, I believe in, like the mafia. Like, he's part of my mafia. Like, who is in your group? That's why I asked you.
Oh, fudge. I'm sorry, that's my car alarm.
Is
it? I'm not even kidding. Yeah.
Just pause.
Whenever there's, no, that's okay. This is real.
Real talk.
There's no one over there. Hear that? He wasn't kidding.
He wasn't kidding.
There's not even a car over there.
Yeah, sometimes a Harley will go by and do that.
Yeah, it's probably a truck or something drove up close.
Nice. So, cool.
This is real time. This is now.
Third car is alarm. The rooster.
Yeah.
It's like a fucking rooster. Is that a dog? So, here's something I wanted to ask you because. You know, I just did a show with Pablo. We just did the Dirty in 12:30.
Nice.
He popped in.
That's cool.
Right? So Pablo, and he hasn't seen me in, like, at least, God, 15 years, something like that. He's like, oh, Jimmy D was all excited to see me. And he's like, man, we get fucking ink, you know, like,
that's
whatever.
Cool.
So are you out there doing voiceovers?
Yeah, I got a voice.
You should be.
Yeah, thank you. I've done some for some video games. I got a new voiceover agent. In fact, after this, I got to go...
Yeah.
I got an audition.
I have a booth in the other room.
Oh, do you really?
You can't use it because you were late.
Shit.
He was late, folks. He was late to my thing. No, but yeah. Do you have a hookup or anything?
You know, I usually just do a recorder. It's funny because my other...
Do you have an iPad?
Yes.
I can hook you all up. You have to buy just a USB mic. And it'll be like literally studio sound.
Wow. Wow. Yeah. I have a recorder. I use a little, an Olympus LS10. And I usually record it into that and then connect it to the computer
right.
and then send it. But that was when I was on the road. Like
mm-hmm.
in town, I would go to, you know, I used to have the booth over in Santa Monica, which was a hassle, you know. 4 years of driving over the hill, blah, blah, blah,
oh,
blah,
yeah.
and never booking anything.
So where
sucks.
Do you, so.
So now I'm going to do it at my place.
Okay.
Yeah
I know the whole hookup. I mean, like I said, I do tons of voiceovers. I have agents in Denver.
Oh, really?
New York,
wow.
Chicago.
I should probably do that.
Texas, everywhere.
Yeah.
Milwaukee.
Are you union or non-union?
Union.
You
yeah.
still do that? Is that non-union stuff?
No. I don't fuck with non-union. But
yeah,
I've been union since Dan first audition. I mean,
wow.
I booked like my first
That's cool.
acting audition almost.
Yeah, because my buddy's he's non-union, but he's always booking voiceovers because there's all this non-union work available.
Yeah, it really sucks. There's a lot of non-union. It's really ruined. It's commercially ruined.
Yeah, like we'll be on the road, and then he'll like go to his hotel room. And he's like, "Hey, I've got to audition all day." And I'm like, "Yeah, I wish I was auditioning all day." And he'll book shit. It's like,
"Yeah,
hey, I just booked a $600 job. I just booked eight," and those add up, you know. So,
They're good. So. Did you study acting? Like, I saw you in that Be Cool thing, right?
Yeah, I'm sorry, that was kind of funny. We're doing a podcast. I'm like, do you sneak around and do non-union work? Hey, no, hello, I don't do that.
What is this non-union? I don't know what you're talking about.
I'm all legitimate, man. I'm on board. I'm like,
yeah.
I'll answer that question off the air.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, what was the question? Do I... Acting classes.
Yeah.
Yes, I have taken acting classes over the years, and like... For the longest time, well, there's a couple guys that I really that I thought were great. They were great. Aaron Spizer.
Sure, great.
Great. It's really, if you really dig into acting, you know,
mm-hmm.
you know, what is acting? It's, you know, make-believe, imaginary circumstances, making a truthful behavior. And then I worked with Brian Reese, which I love because it actually got me the callback.
Another great one.
Yeah,
another
it was great, right?
So I'm glad.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't go to good schools and they're like, oh,
yeah.
I love my teacher.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, IMDb your teacher. Have they ever did anything? Have any referrals for teaching Leonardo? You know, like it's amazing to me the people that I post, you know, like I'll have my little thoughts and I'll do a little post every once in a while about it. And I'm like, there's more fucking acting schools than there is Starbucks in LA.
Yeah.
And it's like,
yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
there's a lot of
I know,
Starbucks.
Yeah, you'll be driving around like Burbank or something and you'll see some weird building and it's like so and so's acting class.
You're like, what the fuck is this? Yeah. But yeah, no, Aaron Spizer and Brian Reese, great teachers. I moved out here, you know, I had a lot of, you know, like I had been in a lot of things, but I moved here and then my wife, it was a couple of years, and then she goes, maybe take a class. She goes, why don't you check out how LA works? So I went to a class. And you know Eddie Jarvis?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so Eddie Jarvis opens for me at a military base. He goes, you got to go to my acting teacher. He's the best. So I'm like, let me go check it out. I fucking hate school.
Yeah.
So I go, and the teacher's like a famous actor. He was a famous actor, and he got caught up in drugs and hookers and everything. And this dude just changed my life. He's like, you can act. He goes, but I'm going to show you how to fucking steal scenes, do this, you know. Like, and these guys know. I'm starring in a movie that just came out this week.
That's cool.
Me, Vinnie Jones, Jamie Kennedy.
Wow.
It's called Rivers
dude,
9.
That's awesome.
So it was great. So it was my biggest part. You know?
Did you get that from a connection you knew, or was it through an audition?
You know, it's funny. When you get a bigger, like the bigger roles you get, especially like independent or something, if they do independence or whatever it is, but if it's a feature film, it's SAG, usually, sometimes you'll audition, but then sometimes you just meet.
Yeah.
Like they're like, hey, let's meet for coffee.
Yeah.
You know, so I met for pie. Right? So,
wow.
Have you ever been to Republic Pie?
No.
The best. It's called the Republic of Pie. It's on Lancashire. Yeah. And book it. Right? And
that's where movies are cast.
It's, Lancashire and Magnolia. It's right
cool.
next to the Starbucks. It's one of the best, like, dessert places. Very industry. A lot of people. So I go in there and have a meeting with the guy and says, hey, yeah, I'm writing this movie, and James Caan is in it, blah, blah, blah. And I says, and I said, yeah, you know, I can send you my reel and stuff. He's like, yeah, yeah, no problem. He's like, look, he goes, I'm just sitting with you. So he's sitting with me for like an hour, and he's like, I'm going to write you a part. So he writes the part, and I go to the table read, and my part is...
That's awesome.
My part is like...
Table read.
Small, yeah. Like... Small.
Not, here's your pizza.
Yeah. No, so it's small.
Yeah.
But it's not teeny. So I do the table read and I just destroy in a table read. And he comes up to me after a table read with the other producer and goes, your part is going to be huge. He goes, I'm rewriting your part.
Oh,
because you were amazing. So Tim just saw the movie last night, actually.
Yeah, that's cool.
So I'm in like 14 scenes.
Damn.
You know, like it went from... So then I'm shooting with Vinnie Jones, and I think I was only written into about 8 or 9 scenes. And I'm with Vinnie Jones, you know Vinnie Jones?
No.
The British Lock, Stock, Smoking Barrels and Snatch.
Yes.
And
soccer player,
right?
Yeah.
So he's in it, and then he goes, you know, and I don't do the accent. I'll probably fuck it up, right? And he's like, it's fucking, you know, blah, blah, blah. He's like, Jimmy, you need to be in every scene with me.
Now
I'm like in damn near every scene. Except for that desert scene, I'm supposed to be in that.
What kind of character are you? Like an Italian kind of
character? Yeah.
That's amazing because there's a lot of Italian type actors out here.
Yeah, but I have, what is it? What would you say, Tim? Like, I have a very macho vulnerability in this.
Yeah.
Like, he's really nasty to me. We torture this girl.
Sounds
famous actress, Elizabeth Rome. Yeah, but anyways, it was really exciting to do it. And I shoot for a good 2 weeks in the movie.
Wow.
Right away, I rap. And what was it, 2 weeks later, Vinny's people called me, and I went and shot another movie.
Wow.
So it was like, you know, exciting.
Yeah.
But my thing is, and I tell, you know, my fans, guests, whoever's listening, just do good work. I mean, you're out there running around town.
I want to do more acting work, though, because that's really where it's like, you know, I think if I was booking, you know what I would probably do what you're doing? Like, if I was booking more movies and stuff, I'd be like, you know, I'm going to take a couple nights off.
Right.
But because that's why I still have the eye of the tiger, you know. Dun, 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 you know.
But you're not, are you going out? When's the last time you had a theatrical audition?
And drop the cricket sound button. Gosh, I really don't know. I would say, God, it's probably, because like I said, my agents were like dropping the ball, and it was just like, what the hell, man? It's probably been about 4 months.
So why don't you... Yeah. And this is just my advice to you. Why don't you go to, and I don't normally, but since your look is so good.
Step on that cricket.
Why don't you go to like casting, these casting workshops and be like, look, fucking Darren Carter.
Yeah.
Like they might have seen you do stand-up.
Yeah.
Like I was headlining Inside Jokes.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And a guy comes up to me after the show. He goes, oh my God, you're so fly. I said, oh, thanks, man. He goes, I almost cast you in a movie 6 months ago. And I go, did I meet you? And he goes, no. He goes, but your tape came. He goes, I remember you. And, you know, so, and then he actually ended up, 3 months later, he cast me in something.
That's cool.
But, and that's the power of the social network. So he went right home and he gave me his info.
Yeah.
And I kind of played a game. I'm like, let's see if he adds me. And he added me before I even got home.
Wow. Yeah, I walked off stage on Sunday, and this guy, I was actually at Chocolate Sunday's Laugh Factory, and the same thing, this guy grabbed me by the hand, pulls me over, he goes, I wrote this movie script, I'm going to park for you. You know, I think I should, if anything I'm learning from you is I should follow up.
Yeah,
I was kind of like, that's the thing. Because sometimes you're like, hey,
like there's nobody that looks like
you.
Yeah, okay, you're losing your hair, you're redheaded, blondish,
whatever
it is. There's nobody that looks like you. And you, I'm going to be honest with you. You did a good job and be cool.
Yeah.
How did you not go to the next
on that one?
Something.
My agent, my hit that one. I was with, who was I with? I was with William Morris, and she got I don't know if she got fired or what, but she left. And then when I contacted her, she's like, "Sorry, I have to secure my $1 million clients." Like, oh.
No, I understand. Trust me, I've been with William Morris.
I've been with all, right.
And right now I'm with a great manager that just is handling, and then I have another manager, TV and film guy. So it's like, you know,
I'm gonna text this guy real quick on the air. Hey, it's Darren Carter. Let's do that movie.
Making progress.
That's right. This is, I'm getting motivated over here. Oh, I want to tell you something funny. I'm sure you know who Joey Diaz is, right?
Joey Coco.
Yeah, Joey Coco.
I'll tell you a story about him. We go up for an audition together.
Yeah.
Now, we've known each other for years.
Yeah.
He knows I'm out running around, but he probably doesn't know my caliber as an actor.
Yeah.
So we go into an audition together. We get the call back together. We're at the producers. And I've told the story many times, but this is what you brought
tell
him
me,
up.
Tell me.
And he's like, hey, cocksucker, look,
yeah.
If I don't get this, then I got nothing for you. If I get this, you call me tomorrow, 6 p.m., regardless, call me tomorrow. So he calls me at like 11 a.m. He goes,
yeah.
I got it. It's The Mentalist. He books The Mentalist.
Wow.
And he goes, I got it. So the Wayans are going to call you. You're in a pilot. That was it. He gave me
wow.
His part.
That's cool.
And it came down to me and Marino.
Mm.
He didn't refer Marino. And they told me when I was there.
Yeah.
And,
wow.
It was me, Vinny O'Shanna.
Oh, I know Vinny.
And,
yeah.
Well, Vinny just asked me to be in a pilot the other day. And I was doing the theater in Arizona. And he didn't do it. The producer was like, he goes, oh, man, I don't think you can get back in time. And I go, no, it'll be fine. It's 3:30. I go, I'll leave. He goes, oh, I don't want to put him through that. And Vinny's like, no. He goes, no, I'll put, like, and I go, all right, well, okay, calm
yeah.
down.
Yeah.
So, but it was a pile. It was like Dustin Ibarra and Vinny.
Nice.
Did you see they did it? It was like a little workout comedy.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty funny. It's a pretty funny pile.
Yeah.
But anyways, so Joey, and I love you, Joey, for that. So Joey put me in that pilot.
That's cool.
You know, they called me, and I had a million lines to learn, and it was like literally shooting the next day.
I had an acting class. Like, did you take an acting class with Bob Krakauer?
In New York.
Okay. Oh, really? Because he
came out here.
Yeah.
Remember Bob Krakauer?
About 14 years ago, or 15, something like that. It was at the Improv, you know, that little back room at the Improv, which is now the bar, which
uh-huh.
they're gonna, turning it into a comedy.
Oh, I hate the Improv hangout now.
Yeah, it's weird, huh? What do you like that little? I like the outdoor part though.
Oh no, I love the outdoor part.
But I know you're saying it's weird. It's like,
but
it's
remember,
like
how we used to just hang
yeah.
at the bar.
Yeah. Now it's like a weird fancy hotel.
It was just everybody, like Anthony Clark and
yeah.
Schwartzen, and
they said they're slowly
it was
turning
the
it
best.
Back.
And Drew Carey, remember Thursdays was Drew
yes,
Carey night?
Yeah.
And we would just hang.
But I think they're slowly turning it back to.
I hope so.
Yeah. When did you come here? Were you here in 98?
2004.
Oh.
2004.
Oh, shit. Okay.
Yeah. But
somebody showed me a lineup from 98. Like a couple, and now from lineups from back then. I'm like, wow.
Oh, yeah. It's
wild when you see yourself in a lineup. But it doesn't tell you, there was this Bob Krakauer. They got a lot of us comedians to take this acting class. It's all comedians in the acting class. And so this is probably back in like 98, 99, somewhere around there, 2000. And it was funny because like Jimmy Fallon was in the class, Todd Glass, you know, all these comedians. And I remember like Joey Diaz asked me about it. He goes, hey, what are you learning in there? What's going on in that class? And I go, oh,
yeah.
It's great, man. You know, it's a lot of comedians in there. No, fuck that. I want to learn how to act. I want a bunch of class clowns.
Yeah.
And he was right because I was like, everybody was trying to out-funny each other. Like, you know, like,
right.
And I, in those situations, I tend to get quiet and just be like,
sure.
Let me just, you know.
Right.
But some of those guys were like, you know, Pablo was in it. I mean, it was really funny and fun, but I'm
right.
like, this isn't really
when I first when I first moved here, like, I was friends with Brian Callen, and Brian Callen was like, go to, oh my God, I can't believe.
Ivana Chubbuck.
Yeah, Ivana Chubbuck, right?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
so did Joey Diaz. She's the fucking best
yeah,
daughter,
yeah.
right? So anyways, I go to the famous actor. One of his favorite students was Lewis Smith. So that's who I studied
mm-hmm.
with. And so back in the day, Roy London, who was a gay teacher, he was amazing. His whole class, everybody became famous. Brad Pitt,
wow.
Lewis Smith. What's the tall one? Oh my God, Gina Davis. Just insane.
Yeah.
The amount of people. So Lewis was like Ivana Chubbuck, except for Ivana Chubbuck came out of school, and he died. Like, he died
wow.
of like AIDS or something like that, and she all of a sudden was like, yeah, he wanted me to teach the class. So then she just started teaching class. So it was like insane. Like she was like, and then she became, and then what? Halle Berry.
Won
the Oscar.
Yeah, Ivana Trebek. She has a book that I bought.
Yeah.
I read it every now and then.
Yeah, she has a book.
No, it's oh, one more thing. Joy said that was funny. He goes, "What are you learning in there?" And I go, "I don't know, man." I got to be honest though. Like, it boosts our confidence. The fuck confidence. it's like I can boost my own confidence. You know? Like, I'm sorry. I curse as I was a Joey Diaz character.
No, it's so funny. No, you can curse.
All right.
Yeah,
motherfuckers.
Yeah, no, but Joey is great. Like, when I first moved here, and he would, like, come over. He's like, come over. We'll sit in the fucking air conditioning.
Yeah.
Like, that was...
I'm the king of the AC.
Yeah, yeah. I'm like, all right. But, so I was supposed to be in that movie. I couldn't end up doing it. So hilarious, because I went and I auditioned the other day for the casting director for... and Joey did a great job. It was called The Bronx Bull. Mm. It was Raging Bull 2.
Wow.
So he was and he did a
Do you know this other Italian actor? Is his name Vinny Curtis? He's like real buff. He's an older guy.
Vinny Sincere?
Yeah, is that his name? Yeah. That's probably what it is.
Like a badass guy. Like he.
Yeah, yeah. He does martial arts.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, well, I heard him on a Steve Simone's podcast. Like he seems like an interesting guy. Do you know him?
He's a great guy. Yeah. We're buddies. He taught my wife how to, like, pinch the fingernail.
Oh, shit.
And, and my wife does it all the time.
Oh, yeah. Because I do it to myself right now.
Yeah. But anyways, is there anything you want to plug on the show?
You know what? Just if you guys go to iTunes or Amazon, I got 3 CDs.
Why not 4?
Let's do that 4th one. Yeah. You're slipping. Like 3 CDs, I know.
So you did a Showtime special. They can go look at that.
Yeah. It's I don't get any money for that, so fuck that. Don't watch that. No, the CDs are Shady Side, That Ginger's Crazy, and then the newest one is called Stay at Home Stripper.
Stay at Home Stripper.
Yeah, no, you guys can watch the Showtime special.
Excellent.
Yeah.
No, it was all great. So where do you see yourself in... another 5 years, 10 years.
At a park, talking to myself on Periscope.
Have you guys Periscope plug? No, I might join.
You're already on Twitter, right?
Yeah.
It's funny. I joke around about that, but it was 2 months ago where I was like, "Cause you got to jump on this stuff, otherwise I feel like the tire tracks will just run across your back."
Right.
And you're like, "I'm not gonna do Instagram. I'm not gonna do Twitter." Good luck, you know.
Right.
So
right.
I was actually literally at a park talking to my phone to myself, but it's great because people will connect with you and talk with you right there. Your fans,
Brody is on it like 24 hours a day. The guy, I get like, because I follow him on Periscope,
yeah.
He literally, like, every couple hours, I'm back online.
He notices. Yeah.
Fucking Brody. I remember Brody, such a great story. Me and Brody, so my manager back in New York, he goes, "Hey," and I knew Brody, and he goes, "Hey, I want you to take him out on the road and, he's going to feature." He goes, "You got to MC." He goes, "But you get the feature pay because he's taping Premium Blend." So he's doing the thing, and I get to see, it's my first like time really watching him. He's like, "That's right, I'm Brody Stevie." You know, he's like, so then that's what he's doing on the road. And I'm like, "Oh, I don't know if that's going to swing me. I don't know if that." So he does it at Premium Blend, and it does well. So then we become friends, and he tells me what he does. You know his first late show or whatever with Craig Kilborn? What happened?
No.
And I think this is true. I'm pretty sure it's true. I know it's true, but I can't remember if it's the guest, but let's just say it is, and it's actually great that it's this guest. So, ladies and gentlemen, tonight on a program, we have Brad Pitt.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And we have, whoever, fucking Scarlett, it's not Scarlett Johansson. Well, let's just say Scarlett. And we have comedian Brody Stevie. He filled the room with all his friends.
Wow.
Every person was there to see
That's
Brody.
Cool.
So if you watch his thing, you're like,
"Hey, energy.
You're Brad Pitt." You're like, "Brad Pitt." Like, "You're Brody Stevens."
That's
so
funny.
Like, I
promoted on MySpace.
So he's just so unique.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, he's one of those guys you watch once and he stands out.
Oh, yeah.
Whether even if people don't...
I was eating Rogaine chewables!
Yeah.
You can't explain it until you've seen him live. Like, just like, what kind of humor is he in? Well,
yeah.
Brody's humor.
Yeah.
All right, cool. So is there anything you you want to plug? You got your, is there DarrenCarter.com?
Yeah, DarrenCarter.com. If you guys are on Twitter, please follow me and say you heard me on this great podcast.
Excellent.
It's at Darren Carter, D-A-R-R-E-N, Carter. What's the name of this podcast?
The Brooklyn Buddha.
Oh, that's right.
Jimmy Della Valle, Brooklyn Buddha. So you're married how long, 18 years?
18 years.
You still have a good sex life?
Oh, yeah, all that good stuff. Here's what I tell my wife. Here's a joke I wrote about that, because it'll be 18 years this August.
Okay.
I go, it's almost like you raised me. And she was like, I did a bad job.
That's a great job. You know, as funny as you are, and I always, you're entertaining, my favorite thing you've ever done, and it's got nothing to do with Tonight Show, any of that shit, my favorite thing, and I think you should be famous for this, and I want you to go home and redo this.
Okay.
Your little orange baby
video. Oh, you like that cartoon?
The cartoon. It's the fucking best thing ever.
Thank you.
Ever.
Thank you. Yeah.
Like, that doesn't have 20 million hits. Yeah. I can't believe it.
Yeah.
You guys have to look up, tell them.
Yeah,
to look
go to YouTube and look up, just look up my Darren Carter YouTube channel. Yeah, you'll see it. It's the orange Armenian baby.
Oh, yeah. It's the fucking best thing.
So, yeah.
Like, how did you not continue to do more?
It's expensive to do the animation. You know?
Yeah.
Luckily, I got a break on that because my cousin works for South Park.
Okay.
It's just like, you know, yeah. It's like, it takes months and months for
guys
to do that. But,
right.
Oh. Yeah, it's great dialogue, right? Like,
dude.
You know,
it was so
we were nervous to see what the kid was going to look like. You know, I'm a ginger. My wife's Armenian, so then I'd say he's going to come out angry with an orange and a brown. Come on, bro, I'm hungry. I'm a lamb chop. She's giving me meat on stick. I want hummus. You're scaring everybody. Get in your baby stroller. That's not Mercedes. Suda. Homem pon sude. Homem pon sude. I want hookah, bro.
Oh,
which I had an Armenian lady get mad at me. She goes, "We don't drive Mercedes, all right? I mean, I do, but they don't drive
without plates."
Yeah,
I didn't like Mercedes.
Cool. That's so fun. So, what if you were a porn star? What would your name be?
Ooh, it would be Cinnamon Stick, or Hot Cheetos, or Churro.
Hot Cheetos.
Yeah.
Excellent.
This is good. I like these questions.
So what would your gang name be? If you were in the mafia or gang? Since the Latinos like you, let's go with the gang name.
Since I'm a redheaded rooster, redheaded ginger American, I would just pull from my own first album. I would call myself Shady Side.
Shady
and we'd go to neighborhoods with lots of trees, hang out on the shady side of the street. Shady Side! Stay inside. Can we get some burn when we go outside from the shady side?
Excellent.
Trevor, Cameron, Ian, Fletcher, mess with us, go home on a stretcher.
Oh, you know what? That's funny, now that you're doing that. So my buddy, Stephen Briggs, he wanted to come here and have a beatbox. He's performing at the Denver Improv this week.
Oh, nice.
So, but he wanted to come and battle you.
I wonder if I met him. There's another guy I did a podcast. And
he's a beatboxer.
No,
he's like really good.
No, there's another guy. I don't know who it is. It might have been him. Have I ever met him?
Yeah. Yeah, you guys had a battle, I think.
That's what I'm saying.
He might have beat
me. I did another podcast, and some guy I never met before was like, hey, the podcast host goes, hey, my buddy here wants to beatbox battle you. Like,
yeah,
okay.
I think that was him.
This is hilarious.
He's just stalking you
like
with a beatbox.
Hey, I heard you got booked on this podcast. I'm going to pop out of the bathroom. I'm an extra, but I'm going to get a
bump up. Cool. So being a ginger American, who was your man crush?
Oh, let me see.
Gonzo?
Yeah. Oh, no, Beaker. You mean Beaker.
Beaker.
Which is funny. Gonzo's one of the big kids.
Yeah.
My son, he's 7 years old, but when he was three, we had this little puppets, and he gave me the Beaker puppet. And he gave my wife the Gonzo one. She's Armenian. She's got
the big nose.
Yeah. I'm like, are you trying to tell us something, dude?
Dude, that's hilarious. Kids, you know, kids are honest.
He is. I asked him what color my hair is. He said it's orange, red, blonde, and bald.
So your man crush is Beaker?
Beaker, yeah. When I was a kid, it wasn't really a crush, but I thought Fonzie was the coolest.
Sure. Kid. There you go.
Henry Winkler. Hey, whoa. It's funny, I told this girl the other day about that. She was a waitress.
I would think Richie Cunningham.
Yeah. No. People thought it was Richie Cunningham. I know exactly. I put on the leather jacket. I'm Fonzie. They're like, no, dipshit, you're still, you're Ralph Mouth, okay?
Yeah. Oh, no, you are Ralph Mouth.
Yeah. I look like him. I never got mad because they called me Richie. I was like, no, I look more like Ralph Mouth. They look Fonz. Still got it, Fonz. Hey, Ralph.
That's hilarious. Cool. So one last thing. This is all I want to ask you is, what is your favorite swear word?
My favorite swear word? Well, you know, it's too easy to say fudge. I've been trying not to swear, so I don't know. I don't really have one right now.
No? Yeah. All right. You know what? We'll let it go on that. You're going to be the first person that doesn't have one.
To plead the fifth.
Good. I plead the fifth,
so,
man.
So, Woody, say goodbye.
Adios.
Tim.
Take care.
Darren Carter.
Pleasure, guys.
Always a
pleasure, brother. Thank you so much, man.
Thanks so much, Darren Carter.
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
Wait a minute. Wait a minute. You ain't heard nothing yet.
Houston, we have a problem.
Stop, children, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down.